Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the AlfredaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. And I'm your host tonight, Dr. Alfreda Love. And this is the day, the hour that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. On tonight, we have a very special topic. And the topic is favor is not your business. Favor is not our business. Forgiveness is. And as I was meditating and studying what the Lord had revealed unto me, we're going to have three different aspects of where God is coming from with this revelation. A couple of weeks ago, I told you that I said we have the coming of the Lord. And so we're going to go into Proverbs 12 and 2, 1 Samuel 2 and 26, and 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. But without further ado, I would like to first of all thank God, my family, my friends, my co-host, and each and every one of you for tuning in to the AlfredaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. I want you to understand and recognize that the purpose of this particular ministry is to uplift and empower, and also to create an atmosphere that is conducive to the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's a preparatory, if you will, period, in which we all come together. And the thing about it is that you will need your Bibles, or if you already know the scripture, that is great. That's wonderful. But you will need your Bible, and I'm going to go ahead and give you time to turn to Proverbs 12 and 2 while we prepare for our reading of Psalm 136. So our first step in this process is Proverbs 12 and 2. We're going to hear from God. Then 1 Samuel 2 and 26, actually 1 Samuel 2, and we're going to go in its entirety. I'm going to give you a synopsis. God says that that's the picture that he's painting. And then 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he says, "This I leave with you." He says, as we await for the new body to return. And what God is talking about is a new mindset. He's talking about newness. Anything that you lost, you will gain. Any situation, anything that you are worried about, God says you will be restored according to his unction. I also want you to understand and recognize that Jesus said he's the cornerstone. And we're going to touch on that a little bit because that's going to come up. Okay? So without further ado, I know that's a lot for you, but God's grace is sufficient and there's a lot that needs to be covered. We're going to read Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9. Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9. I'm going to give you time to get there. Psalm 136, 1 through 9. You ready? Okay. And this is the NKJV version. Amen. New King James Version. All right. Mm-hmm. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. I have read to you Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning and you started us on our way. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. We ask that you bless those who are in the hospitals, bless those who are coming out of the hospitals, and those who are thinking about going in. We thank you for the praise reports, Lord, and we thank you for the healing and just your anointing over our lives. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, would you bless each person who is on this ministry right now, bless those who are coming, and bless those who will listen at a later time. We thank you, Lord, for your divine grace and your favor and your mercy. We thank you for the spoken word, and we ask as we begin to propel this particular ministry on tonight that your revelation be heard and understood in a simplified way in which we can go back and utilize all of this information in order to live better and productive lives for you. We ask that we be found building up the kingdom of God and restoring and blessing the people through your word. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you help us to continue to do what you have asked us to do, continue to help our eyes to be lifted up to the hills and our ears to hear your revelation and your prophecy and our mouths to be able to speak your word and our hands to be busy and our feet to keep it moving. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for everything you have done, the things you're going to do, and the things that you have required for us to do. As we begin to expedite our work for the kingdom and continue building, we ask, would you give us the strength and the stamina and the understanding and the power through you to continue to uplift and empower and help people all over this land and country. We thank you for the platform. We thank you for the opportunities that we have. We thank you for the open doors. We thank you for each and everything that you've done in our lives. Now, as we prepare to transition into this particular ministry, we ask that we never be transitioned out of your sight. This is one of your servants' prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And we are going to first kick off this particular ministry and welcome all of those who have just arrived. We're going to kick off this particular ministry with Mr. Donald Lawrence, the gift. What gift? God's gift that he's given us, a talent. It looks good on you, and you wear it well. You are listening to the AlfredaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. And yes, 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 I am your host for this evening, Dr. Alfred Love. Systems of the world try to take your confidence. Systems were designed for inheritance. Systems of the world try to take your confidence. Systems were designed for inheritance. If I gave you, give it back to him. Operating. If I gave you, give me back to you.
It looks good on you. It looks good on you.
Amen, amen, and amen. That was Mr. Donald Lawrence, the gift from who? The gift from God. It looks good on you, and you wear it well. Amen. You're listening to the AfritaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. All right, so we are going to begin our first pillar of the revelation of God, and I want you to turn to Proverbs 12 and 2 because we're going to begin there first. Proverbs 12 and 2, and I'm in the King James Version. Proverbs 12 and 2, King James Version, says, a good man, and this means people, obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he, meaning the Lord, condemn. I want to read that again, and I want you to put your name there. It doesn't matter who you are. This is humankind. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. And God is speaking punish. Now then, let's talk about this for a second. Because we're talking about favor is not your business, amen? That is the business of God. We can't prevent life and death. We can't prevent those things that God has power over. But God says what we do have control over is forgiveness. On your piece of paper or in your mind, I want you to put good, G-O-O-D, G-O-O-D, good, okay, and then I want you to put the word wicked, good on one side and wicked. These two can never conjoin together, all right, because we call that a hypocrite, okay. But it says in the Bible in Proverbs 12 and 2, and you can see it, that a good man, a human being, obtaineth favor of the Lord. When we look at the word good, those are the things or the qualities of the Lord, because why? Everything that the Lord created is good. So let's give some examples of what good really means. Good means being positive. Good means building up the kingdom of God. God means empowering people, setting people up for success. You can just put success. I'm brainstorming. I'm sure you can think of some others. I'm just giving you examples. Good also means to reconcile. It means to forgive. It means to restore such a one. It means to have a pure in heart, because you remember that only the pure in heart shall what? See God, Pure in heart. It means that we go to and fro seeking whom we can help. That's a key word, help. It also means that when we do good, that we look for the good in people. Okay, so I gave you a picture. I painted a very, it wasn't in detail, but I gave you a hint of what good means. It's basically a positive feature. If we're going to sum this up, it's a positive feature which empowers people to go or to reach success. That's what the good that God is talking about, and because of this good, God says that equals his favor. He says, you continue to be a positive beam, a positive centerpiece, a positive person for my people because everything I created is good, and continue to empower and uplift people in order to help them become successful, and therefore you too shall find favor of the Lord. Why? Because you're working for God. You're working for God. If you look at that word, you can form the three-letter word, which is God. Okay? That's what God is showing me now. Wicked. God says anything wicked, it says, but a man or a human being of wicked devices will he condemn. Don't worry about the condemnation right now, because God says that's in a league all by itself. When we look at wicked, God says automatically he wants us to put the devil. The devil. When we look at wicked, God says when we look at wicked, he wants us to put negative. When we look at wicked, we want to put tear down, disenfranchise, or discredit, God says. We want to make sure that we destroy people and things. We want to make sure that we don't forgive individuals. We want to make sure that our hearts are filled with malice and jealousy. We want to make sure that if we're in a position to help someone, that we don't. So it's the opposite. It's the opposite of good. So when we look at wicked, automatically that's associated with devil. Negativity, tearing down, discredit, destroy, forgive, malice. Those particular things creates an atmosphere of wickedness, which means evil. And when we look at the word wicked, God says at the end, you can see that wicked is, I know that we spell kid, K-I-D, but when we look at this particular word of wicked, there is a K-I-D. E-D. God says not only in the spiritual realm is K-E-D, meaning immature, childish, not on meat but on milk because of how we act when we're wicked. God says that this particular form of wickedness is very childish, and therefore at some point we must grow up and we must become workers of good instead of workers of iniquity. So when we look at K-E-D, God says, in the spiritual sense, that reminds us that we are acting like children, especially when we cannot conform to what God has promised us, which is to provide favor unto us, if we are doing good instead of evil for the world. So I want you to look at those two words, and I don't want you to say it out loud, but I want you to evaluate yourself. And I want you to look at only 50% of your day. I'm not even asking for 100 yet. 50% of your day. What side are you on? Look at the good side. Look at the wicked side. Right? Now, I laugh at myself sometimes because my spirit picks up on things. And I have to tame my spirit sometimes, because my spirit loves positive things. Now, we're going to have some situations in which we're concerned. And this is all over the world. When I go all over the world, when I speak, when I go all over the world.
But I want to hear positive things. And so when my spirit begins to, if I look at TV, which I hardly do, or things of that nature, sometimes it's like, oh, man, you know, where's the positive things in this? And God says, are you seeking the positive or the negative? Who are you? Are you working for God? Are you working for Jehovah? Are you working for the wicked, which is the devil, Satan? Right, Satan, and I want to make this very clear to you guys, because as I said before, we all are united body. It doesn't matter who you call God. It doesn't matter that point. But do you notice that when we talk about the wicked, the devil stays the same? There is no religion that says, I serve Satan, except atheists. They say they use the devil and Satan synonymously. They use them as the same. When we talk about religion, as God is saying right now, when we talk about religion, we use God, and we have many different religions, but it's the same person, y'all. Whether you want to believe it or not, it's the same person. When we get to heaven, y'all, we'll all find out together. The same, we serve the same God. It doesn't matter who you call God. I gave the example. You have nicknames for people, right? But that's the, yeah, that's who we're talking about. That's the same person, okay? But the devil, right, that name sticks. When you say devil, it doesn't matter what religion. You can go to, you know, you can go to Baptist churches, Pentecostal, you can go to Kingdom Halls, wherever. When you say devil and Satan, oh, we know who you're talking about, right? And that's just with God, the same thing with God. Jehovah God, I know you're talking about God. You know, so to me, it's not really any difference. That's just how God is showing me. But side are you on? Are you building up? Are you empowering? Are you trying to help others reach success as you reach success? Are you willing to forgive? Are you willing to restore? Is your heart pure? Are you helping people, or are you destroying people? Are you looking for ways to destroy people? Because guess what? God says, here we go to my next point. He said there is favor and there is condemnation. God says in the favor of God, he says he looked beyond our faults and he sees our needs. Right? He says, because of his favor, he said, what was turned or what was meant for evil will turn out to be good. We're coming right back, y'all, to the good. God says that everything he creates is good. He says, when he says favor, he doesn't mean that he esteems one person over the other. When he says favor, he looks at your situation and evaluation, and he says, this is the part, this is the good part of this person, and this is the evil part. He says it many times. He says the good outweighs the evil. And so, therefore, God finds favor within us when we don't even deserve it. Some of us don't even deserve to wake up the next morning because we've been so evil the night before. But God gives us that favor. He gives us that grace. He says, this is something, favor is something that nobody can touch. He said, favor is something nobody can touch. Nobody will ever understand it. Nobody will ever be able to touch it. He says, not even my prophets. He says, not even my pastors, not even my apostles. Nobody will be able to touch it because it is stronger than life and death. Nobody can stop it. Absolutely nobody. And then God says condemnation. He says, you know if you've been good or evil. He says, it's just like, and some of you don't observe holidays, but in order to exemplify for the children, listen, some of you who do celebrate, these particular things, such as Christmas, God says that Santa Claus, for those of you who believe in Santa Claus, okay, you leave cookies and milk, right? You want to do something good for Santa. You don't leave a hole on the floor where Santa can fall. You don't write Santa a bad note or a bunch of lies and expect Santa to bring you gifts. God says that's the same thing with the kingdom of heaven. We can't live any kind of way and do people any kind of way and say any kind of thing and expect God to find favor in our mess. We're going to have to get our hearts right. So God says when he talks about condemnation, he talks about the punishment. He says man don't have to punish you. He says, but because of our deeds, wicked deeds, destroying the kingdom of God, trying to seek to destroy people, lying on people, robbing people, things that God has given, he says, you will be punished. By who? By God. Not by man. By God. And God knows just how to do it. Now, is this your chance to say, yeah, God, no, that's not your opportunity or your chance to do that. Because God said it's not your business. It's not your business where he puts his favor. Your business right here, especially if we fall under the wicked and condemnation part, is to worry and to think about asking God and to ask God for forgiveness. He said that is your business. Your business is not to worry about what God is doing, because God is going to be God. You know, we can't stop life and death. I was driving today, and God earlier that morning had mentioned Cornerstone, and someone had passed away, and the whole community of people were out, you know, supporting. God says, that's good. He says, because you are concerned about your fellow man, fellow woman, that is good. So all those people that were standing there concerned, whatever reason they were standing there in support of whoever that person was who had passed away in that community, God says, my favor will be upon them. I don't know what they need. I have no idea. I was just passing through. But what I do know is what God said. But if those same people, right, were just, I mean, you know, trying to steal and rob from someone who's dead, then that's wickedness. And God says, you have your reward. You have your punishment. Right? And we don't know how God punished. We do. If we look at the Israelites, you know, God talks about famine. He talks about everything that we touch. He says it will crumble to pieces. He talks about every door that we try to open will be shut. He said that's condemnation. That's punishment. He says nobody has to touch you. Nobody has to say anything to you. He says my punishment comes unto you because I see and hear everything that was done and that is done. And so God says we should press towards the mark of the good. He says, because that's where his favor is. His favor is not in a bunch of mess. He said, that's temporary. He said, all of this wickedness is temporary. He said, because it's going to finally come in the hands of God. And when it comes in the hands of God, he says, that's when your punishment will come from God. He says, because everything he created is good. And if we seek to destroy it, that's not our job. That's not our business, to destroy other people. If your plight is to destroy other people, to dig ditches for other people, and you want them to fall in those ditches, God says those ditches that you have dug is really for you. And people don't understand that. Right? So God says we need to press towards the mark of being good, serving this world for the good and not for wicked plots and schemes and lies. Right? God says your business, once again, is to ask God to forgive you for being or for working for the devil. That is your business. Your business is not, God says he is God all by himself. He can handle it. His favor on the people, there is nothing we can do about it. He said it's untouchable, just like life and death. He says, matter of fact, it's stronger than life and death. That means that nobody can touch you but him. Okay? So he says punishment. He said that's just within itself. He said it's condemnation, he says, for working evil. He says your reward, yeah, you're going to get a reward. He says you're going to get immediate gratification because you have caused trouble, or you thought you have, in other people's lives, and you have tried to destroy the temple of God. He says, but that's temporary. He says, but eternally, you're going to be punished in the long run. He says, but if you do good, he says, favor will follow you all the days of your life. Right? So we must press towards the mark of doing good towards all mankind, especially, and it's in the Bible, those who are the household of faith. And no, God does not have a respect of person, but God says those who carry his word, those who are anointed by God, we should try our best to do good. Why? Because they carry the word of God. God has anointed them. But we should do good towards all people, not just those with a household of faith. But God says do good towards all. He says that in the Bible. He said especially to them who are the household of faith. Those are his children. Everybody's his children. He says, but he has chosen individuals to get a word of God. And if they don't, the people will surely perish. Amen? So good and wicked, which one are you? Sometimes you're good, sometimes you're wicked. That's called bipolar Christianity. You're going to have to decide which one you want to be. Favor? You want favor? Well, you got to do good. You want punishment, condemnation from God? Well, if you do evil, that's what's going to happen. Because all those ditches that you done dug, you will fall in there double. I'm telling you. Stop digging ditches. All right. Here we go. That brings us up to our next point, which is Samuel. Okay? And I told you I referenced 1 Samuel chapter 2, but we're going to start at verse 12. And God talks about, when I was writing this particular revelation, God talks about his returning, his coming picture of Eli's sons who were hard-headed. In other words, you're going to have to read it for yourself. They were hard-headed. They were rebellious. They didn't do what the Lord asked them to do. They were doing some things that were contrary to God, which that falls under the wicked part. And because of this, basically God says they will be punished with death. And that's the most extreme for God. We all know that we all have to die. We all know that. But God says that he required their souls, he says, because they were so hard-headed and because of what they were doing. They were doing some things that, you know, it's one thing to go against people, but it's another thing to go against God. And when you go against God, then you have a problem. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we never can beat God-given, and we can't beat going against God. Because God is the Alpha and Omega. So he has the first and the last word. And so because Eli's sons were so hard-headed and because they were so disobedient, he required that they die. But there was a man by the name of Samuel, and we find that that's the verse that the Lord had given me. And Samuel was set apart, and he continued to grow. He didn't fall into the hands of the wicked one. He didn't work for Satan. He worked for God. And Samuel was chosen for God until his death, and he served in very important positions. As a matter of fact, God says that his name means the Lord hears. And God wanted us to know that he heard and he hears our prayers on a daily basis. And he says he's answering our prayers, and he's already answered some of our prayers. And the story of Samuel, God says, was in order to get us to understand what happens when we are wicked, what happens when we begin to destroy the kingdom of God, or try to destroy the kingdom of God, or when we try to destroy people in general, or when we try to disobey God. God, he says, I want the people to know about Samuel because Samuel will fall in the good category. He says, but I also want them to know about Eli's sons who will fall into the wicked, and I want them to see the difference between how I favored Samuel and what happened to Eli's sons because they were so wicked and because they were hard-headed. Amen? So Samuel. Basically, the Lord means the Lord hears, and Samuel was a prophet, and he had a lot of wisdom, and he became a judge, and he established a house. But Samuel's sons, they were hard-headed, you know, and things of that nature. But Samuel tried to get Saul to turn away from his wicked ways. He warned the people about worshiping idol gods. He did all that. He did all that. And, you know, the accomplishments that we can find in the Bible was Samuel was honest. That goes with good. He was fair. That goes with good. He was dispensing God's law impartially. He didn't say, okay, because you are here and you are there, we'll be impartial. No, it was on fair playing grounds. That's the good part. He was a prophet. That's good. He told Israel Israel to turn from idolatry. That's why God became so upset with Israel. Israel were following the wicked. He told them to turn from idolatry. They were serving idol gods and to serve God alone. And still, you know, Israel had to experience the wrath of God. But Samuel loved God, and he obeyed God without question. He had integrity. He put God first regardless of what the people thought. And Samuel was just obedient, and he respected God. And, you know, people can be destroyed by their own selfishness. But Samuel, he stood out as a man of honor. And we can avoid the corruption of this world if we place God first in our lives. That's why God shows the good. He said, these are all the things that you can inherit if you do good unto the people. If you do good unto the people. And we wonder, why is it that I feel like I'm being condemned. Well, what are your works? What do you do on a daily basis? Are you steady trying to figure out how to dig ditches for people? Are you steady trying to figure out how to destroy people and lie on people? If you are, then, yeah, the Lord is going to condemn you. He's going to punish you. Nobody has to punish these people. Nobody has to punish you. The Lord knows just how to do it. But God says, if you wake up every morning and you look for the good and you try to do good to people, make sure people are successful, he says, my favor will be up. That's how you're able to get all those open doors. That's how you're able to get prayers through to God. That's how you're able to step on platforms. That's how you're able to get the things you need, because of the favor of God. It's not because of your goodness. Don't get good, your good deeds mixed up with the goodness of God, right? Because everything good comes from God. Everything we have is God's. And when other people try to destroy what belongs to God, then there lies the problem. And that's when God condemns. He says, not only in the revelation of God, he says, not only will they be punished, he says, but they will receive double punishment for destroying what I have made good. So we have to make sure that every morning when we wake up, that we have a good purpose, not a wicked purpose. Because if we do, God says, your condemnation may not, you may get a gratification temporarily, but at the end, because God says he's the Alpha, he sees everything, and the Omega, at the end, God says, we shall have our reward. Amen? Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the NIV version, New International Version. And I was just going to read a couple of verses, but the Lord showed me I need to read this in its entirety, and I'm going to read it by paragraphs because the Lord wants me to point out some things. And I didn't know this until I began reading and the Lord began speaking. So here we go. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan in a burden, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. God says that earthly things will be destroyed. He says, but heavenly things, this is the revelation of God, will be eternal. That's all you need to know at that paragraph. Earthly things will be destroyed. Heavenly things eternal. God talks about life and death here. He says, on earth, this is God speaking in Revelation, what does your life look like? Does it look like heaven or hell? He says, because at some point, we're going to die. Right? At some point. He says, and because of that, he said, we should do good unto all men every day. Right? So that should be our goal, God says. Because our destination, a lot of people say, I'm trying to make it to showbiz. I'm trying to make it to the next level. I'm trying to make it to wherever. But God says you should be trying to make it to heaven, because all those things are eternal. Heaven is eternal. How do you make it to heaven? By doing good. Because guess what? God says in between life and death, he says before we go to our destination, in between that, we're going to have to meet with God. And God is either going to say, well done, or he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. He says, because all of your idols on earth, and they're destroyed. He says, but when you lay up your treasures in heaven, those things will be preserved, and nobody can steal any of those things. It will not rust. And so God says that it's time, because we're waiting the new body. He said it's time to begin to look at and evaluate our lives to make sure that we are doing good unto all mankind. If every time somebody is by you and they walking on eggshells, you are not doing good towards all mankind, and you will receive your reward. Okay? All right. Let's go to the second paragraph. We're still in 2 Corinthians 5. We're on verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat, just said that, of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Confident. It's a difference between being confident and arrogant. And there's nothing wrong with being confident. There's nothing wrong with saying, I can do this. There's nothing wrong with saying, this is my niche. Confident, knowing that we have a home in heaven, knowing that God has reserved a place for us in heaven. Why? Because we live by faith and not by sight. We talked about that. We live by faith. We don't live by sight. You don't know what's going to happen the next second. You don't know what's going to happen the next minute. We don't know what's going to happen the next hour. We don't know what's going to happen the next day. All we're doing is walking by faith, not by sight. Why? Because we are confident that God is going to take care of everything and he's going to take care of us. Right? We're confident. Now, so every day of our lives, as God is speaking, should be to please him. Who? Who are we pleasing? God. Jehovah. El Shaddai, Elohim. Whoever you call God, that's who we are seeking to please every day. Because guess what? God says that we're going to have to stand before him, the judgment. And we're going to have to give an account for all these evil deeds that we've done on earth. And God is going to also measure us by the good deeds, our hearts. Now, God is not going to have a Lamb Book of Life because God already knows. He knows how many hairs we have on our head right now. But whether good or bad, God said this is the season in which he is preparing to judge. He says there's going to be a lot of gnashing of teeth. There's going to be a lot of people who are in barren lands, people experiencing famine. He says, but you be found doing good to restore and redeem yourself. If you fall under the category-ness, ask God for forgiveness. That's why God says favor is not your business, forgiveness is. See, we worry too much about God's job, and ours go lacking, which is forgiveness. We're supposed to forgive God so that we can escape the famine. Forgive each other and ask God for forgiveness so that you can escape, so we can escape all of these things, the punishment of God. But we have to do right by people. And that's hard for some people because we use our power. We use what God has given us on earth and think that we can do people any kind of way and God accepts that. And he's not. And so that's why I said, you know, God says vengeance is mine. A lot of people say, okay, I'm going to seek revenge. For what? You let God do that. God knows just how to do it and when to do it and how to do it. You let God, you put all those things in God's hands. But you know right now, personally, as a person, you know if you're doing good for people, and you know that if you are just destroying people and causing chaos and havoc, you know that, okay? Awaiting the new body, that's the name of this section. Now let's move on. The ministry of reconciliation. We're on 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. Since then we know what is the fear of God. What is to fear the Lord? We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but we're giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we're out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Wow. God is talking about the crucifixion. He died for us. And so, as we live, right, there are going to be some things that we have to experience. We're going to be crucified sometime, unjustly. But God says that he died for us. And he says we're going to rise again. What is God saying in this passage tonight? God is saying, I understand that you've done well, that you're doing good. And I understand that the devil has tried to destroy, devour, dig ditches. I understand that. And I understand that at one point you may have stumbled. He said, but guess what? Because I have died on the cross, you're going to rise again. Not because of your name, not because of who you are, not because you've been so good, not none of that. Erase it. He says, because I have allowed you to rise again. That's why God says, remember me every day. He says, remember me. He says, the power that he has, life and death, famine, whatever it is, condemnation, whatever it is, goodness, mercy, favor, grace, nobody can touch it. He says, because if God gave us access to it, we would give it to certain people who probably didn't deserve it. And we try to keep everything for ourselves. I want all this favor to myself. I want all this grace to myself. I want all this mercy. Just with humans. So God says, that's life and death. You know, people will live to be 1,000 years old. Right? God says he don't give anybody access to life and death. He don't give anybody access to his power, to his grace and mercy and favor. He don't give anybody access to that because we don't know how to use it. We'll abuse it. Right? Verse 16. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. That means mind your own business. Your business is not the favor of God. Your business is forgiveness. Therefore, we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creature has come. Okay. So God says, if you be in Christ, if you ask God for forgiveness and God has raised you up, he says you are new. The new creature has come. The old has gone. The new is here with the exclamatory point. The old has gone and the new is here. The new who? The new you. The new outlook on life. The new mindset. All this is from who? From God. Because everything God created is what? Good. Who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. When we reconcile with God, we ask God for forgiveness. Every now and then we may stumble. Every now and then we may trip up. But God said that we are now reconciled with him. Now we are new creatures. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Why? Because we've all fallen short. It doesn't matter who you are. We've all fallen short of God's glory. And God says he's not counting people's sins against them. Why? He said because he died and because they're reconciled and they asked for forgiveness. Amen. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Once again, we're working to build up the kingdom of God by giving the word of God, doing good, not digging ditches and having people walk on eggshells every time they see you. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. That means come to God. If you're digging ditches, put the shovel down and stop digging ditches and come to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God said we all sinners. We've all fallen short of his glory. He says, but God made him who had no sin to be sin. When we look at the Adam and Eve in the garden, the reason why we miss eternal life, and all of us could agree on it, Bible scholars and everybody else, is because Adam and Eve. It wasn't just one person, it was two. And they were basically betrayed by the snake. Right? And so everybody is guilty of stumbling every now and then. But God says, I'm going to raise you up. Amen? With all power, not your power. Don't get it twisted. He says, with my power. Both what? Heaven and in earth. Amen? So let's sum this up, because I have some newcomers and I want y'all to listen to it. But to sum all this up, we read Proverbs and we separated the good and the wicked, because those two cannot cohabitate together. Either you're good or you're wicked. It's one of the two. You can't be both. Amen. Praise God. And we talked about and we gave some examples of good, right? talked about being positive and building and empowering, and talked about having a pure heart and restoring such a one, and reconciliation and forgiveness, and showing people where success is. And we talked about how that correlates to favor. Talked about nobody can touch favor. MC Hammer once said, "Can't touch this." And I'm assuming and I'm hoping that he was talking about God's power and grace and mercy. And I hope he was talking about life and death, because that's something he right. We can't touch. Then we went on and we found out that God is in good. Amen. Then we found out that there was another turning point, which is wickedness. We learned that that's correlated straight up to the devil. It's negative, it's turned down, it's destructive, it's unforgiving, it's malicious, it's jealousy. It's all those things, digging ditches for people, hoping they'll fall, and you end up falling in it, and you're still wicked when you get up. But we also learned that God says that he shall give the punishment. He says, and when God gives the punishment, we shall know when the punishment comes, just like we know when the favor comes. And God talks about his returning. We go on to Samuel, and we learn that Samuel was obedient. He tried to get individuals to turn from their wicked ways. We learned that Eli's sons, they just didn't do what God asked them to do. And God required death of them, and that was their punishment. And that's probably the most severe. But we understand that there is good and evil. So there is a God and there is Satan. And I went on to say, as God was showing me, that no matter who you call God or Jesus Christ, when we get to heaven, y'all, we all going to serve the same person. And then when we talk about the wicked, no matter what denomination or religion you are, everybody knows Satan and the devil, because we use those words in all the Bible. So I'm not sure, you know, why we separate ourselves or why we shun other religions and denominations when we're talking about the same God. So God wants us to get to a point where we can all fellowship together. It doesn't matter, you know, if they're apostolic. It doesn't matter if they're Baptist. It doesn't matter if they're Catholic. It doesn't matter if they're Jehovah's Witness, whoever they are. God says that when we all get to heaven, there's not going to be any religions. Did y'all know that? The revelation of God said that. Matter of fact, you know, everybody is going to cohabitate together, you know. When we talk about the term, now we're getting into the ecology of spirituality here, so I'm going to be very brief. But when we all get to heaven, those who make it to heaven, there's not going to be, I'm Catholic, all the Catholics go to the east side of heaven, all the apostolics go to the west side. No, it's not going to be that. We're going to all be together. So we may as well get ready down here, right? When we talk about Satan, Satan's not going to change. Matter of fact, Satan's going to be waiting on all of the individuals who make it to hell. He's going to be welcoming into hell. Satan's not even going to be in heaven. So it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good place. That's why they say when all of God's children get to heaven, what a time, what a time, what a time, because we don't have to worry about Satan. But when we're on earth, Satan is alive and well. But when we get to heaven, which is our destination, and we try to do that every day by doing good, then we don't have to worry about Satan anymore, because we're up there in heaven, eternal life. Amen? Amen. I don't want to scare anybody, but we all have to live and we all have to die. It's just something we have to do. Okay? So we talked about favor is not your business, forgiveness is. So if we fall under the wickedness, let's ask God to forgive us. We got to start by asking God to forgive us, right? And God will lead and direct your path, our path. We have to start by asking God. God is not that is going to allow or be pleased with or show his favor to wickedness. Because everything that God is connected to is good. God is not going to show his favor to individuals who dig ditches for other people. And you expect for God to work miracles, and you dig in a ditch for something that God has orchestrated. It's not going to happen. That includes me, anybody else. That's why I don't have time. I make sure I don't have time. to dig ditches, to do wicked work. I'm always trying to build the kingdom of God. Always. Always, always. I'm always trying to build the kingdom of God. And if I can't do that, then I suspect my time is up on earth. Because I don't want to work for the devil. I don't want to work for wickedness. I don't want to do that. I want to work for God. And so we must be in these days and times about our Father's business. I'm telling you, God is here. It's not anything. God is coming. God is here. Whether good or bad, likewise or otherwise, we shall receive our reward. Whatever it is, good or bad. And the thing about it is, we have to be careful, as I said before, of our good works, and we have to be careful of our wicked works. Because God says we get double portions of whatever we've done, whether good or bad, otherwise. Amen? Amen. So, favor is not our business, but forgiveness is. I challenge you from this day forth to go about doing the good works, empowering people, helping people to cross the success bridge, forgiving people, because we never know the day or the hour. We don't know. You go to sleep and you hopefully, you know, the goal is to make it back to the destination, but we just don't know. And so we want to make sure that we're right with God first. We want to make sure that wherever the Lord leads us in our destination, that we're doing good unto the people. We want to make sure that we turn away from wickedness and that we do good unto God and his people, because we are going to reap what we sow. And it hurts, especially when it's wicked and you have to then face what you tried to do to somebody else. So it's better to do good unto every person. Amen? Amen. I want to thank each and every one of you. We have 320 individuals on the line, not including the ones who probably logged in. But be sure to continue to uplift your family and friends by asking them, telling them to log into blogtalkradio.com/freedomlove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. The guest call-in number is 347-843-4981. 347-843-4981. Be sure to call in. You can listen in. You don't necessarily have to say anything. You can listen in to the ministry. We'd love to have you. And be sure to tell individuals about our topic today. Favor is not your business. Forgiveness is. And be sure to give them the verses and also let them know to go on to blogtalkradio.com/freedomlove, or they can go to afredaloveshow.com, 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 afredaloveshow.com. Okay, or they can go to stellargospelmusic.com, stellargospelmusic.com, stellargospelmusic.com. All right, in addition to that, gospel artists, writers, promoters, actors, bloggers, motivational speakers, empowerers, anyone with a positive motivational message, please, Facebook, Afreda Love, AFREDALOVE, or FREDALOVE, or you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I would love to have you on the AfredaLoveShow.com. I would love to interview you on the AfredaLoveShow.com. So please be sure to connect with me. All right? Okay. In addition to that, also be sure to pray for all of your family members. Did you hear what I said? Pray for all of your family members. And when you do, symbolically or physically, if you're close by, put them all in one line and pray for them one by one. Do not forget to pray for yourself, because the prayer of the righteous avails much. And pray for those you know and those you do not know. Do not look at something on television or read something on the internet and say, well, I don't know who this is. You know, I'm not praying for them. Well, we need to pray for everybody. We're praying for missing children. We're praying for adults who just, we're praying for everybody, okay? So if you see something, pray about it. You don't have to know who it is. You don't have to know their situation. Once again, favor is not our business. Situations and problems is not our business, but forgiveness is, and praying for other people is our business. That is our business. We can pray for people, and they don't even have to know it, okay? So let's pray one for another. In addition to that, be sure to go to AlfredaLoveShow.com. I've had several people inquire about the ministry. I've had several bloggers and individuals who want to interview the radio show, as well as they have many different events, and I'm going to let you know what some of those events are. But be sure to connect with me. AlfredaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com. Also, you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. But once again, the websites, AlfredaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com. All right? I'm looking for many gospel artists. I have a couple of bloggers. I have TV media hosts who will be coming on the ministry pretty soon. So please be sure to check that out. In addition to that, we have a couple of events. One of the events I want to tell you about is Miss Ayana Vincent. She has an event on April 21st to the 23rd, 2017. I will have this posted on my particular blog. This particular event is titled Wonder Woman Weekend. Y'all remember about Superman and Wonder Woman? Well, she's having a Wonder Woman Weekend, and she says real change is an inside job, and it is. It really is. If you want to change, it has to start in the inside, because whatever's in the inside is going to come out. Amen. Amen. So it's an inside job, and so that's Miss Ayana. Also, I was invited to a couple of conference calls, a couple of speaking engagements. We'll have some things with that. Be sure also to look out for the new website. We're going to have pictures from the Stellar Awards. Two of our media individuals were highlighted. They will be on television when the Stellar Awards show appears. And so be sure to check that out. In addition to that, once again, if you want to connect with me, it's EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. Also on LinkedIn, Alfreda Love. If you need speakers, if you need musicians, I mean, we have it all. So just let me know. In addition to that, I just want you to enjoy the rest of your night. Be sure to pray one for another. Be sure to understand and recognize that favor is not our business, but forgiveness is. Be sure to pray for everybody. Be sure to be of good character and good nature. Be sure to uplift and empower. Be sure to recognize who God is and to know that God is always, forever with us. And just as God, as Samuel's name means, the Lord has heard us and the Lord is answering us. And also, let's keep in mind that there is power in life and death. And let's keep in mind that we must serve God. Amen. Amen. I want to thank each and every one of you, all 300 of you, for tuning in to the AlfredaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. I want you to come back on tomorrow, as we will have our needs and our wants. We're going to have that later on tomorrow night. I want you to come back. And if someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifted you up because God is love. And until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Avery. Love.
Oh, yeah. You have been tuned in to the finest talk show ministry on the internet. The Love Lift Up Jesus Ministry. Featuring your host, Dr. Alfreda Love. Reminding you to be diligent in your prayer as you pray for someone this week. We say goodbye as we depart from the airwaves, but reminding you that we never, ever depart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is His Word. And on that, you can depend. Always remember that Jesus Christ has your back, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus.